The next question scientists had to answer was, where did people come from? Charles Darwin figured out the answer to this question. People look a lot like monkeys. Monkeys act a lot like children. Monkeys and humans have the same structures of bones and muscles. The individual bones and muscles are just different sizes and shapes. From a lot of clues like this, Charles Darwin discovered that people were descended from monkeys. Actually, people and monkeys were both descended from the same ancestor, in the same way that horses and donkeys are both descended from the same ancestor. The original animal wasn't a monkey, because monkeys have evolved over millions of years also. This is another of the things you'll have to learn a more complicated version of if you go to a university to study biology. But if all you want to do is to work on your farm, this is a simplified version that will work well enough. So I'll say that people are descended from monkeys just for simplicity, even though the real story is a little more complicated than that. Evolution is the cumulative adaptation to the environment. Monkeys evolved into people because some of the monkeys lived in an environment where the ones who were a little more like people were able to survive and reproduce the best. By doing that, they passed the most genes down to the next generation to make more children that were like themselves. So now the question is, how did the monkeys' environment change from one where the monkeys could live best by being like monkeys to one where they could live best by being more like people? Now you can look at how people are different from monkeys, why those differences work better for monkeys the way they live, and what kind of an environment some monkeys could have moved into, or how some monkeys' environment could have changed, to make being more like people more helpful to them. This is the same question of how one kind of animal turned into donkeys and horses, only now applied to ourselves. There are three big differences we can look at. How people and monkeys use their hands, how people and monkeys stand, and how people and monkeys think. We can also look at the bones of earlier ancestors of humans and get more clues that way. Monkeys use their hands for climbing in trees. They also use their hands for walking on the ground, but they can also stand upright. They have brains that let them do the things they need to do to be able to live the way they live. How brains work is pretty complicated, and it's what most of this book is about. Before I compare how monkeys think to how people think, it's easiest to compare how some monkeys think to how some other monkeys think. There are a lot of different species of monkeys that live in jungles all over the world, in Central and South America, in Africa, in Asia, and on some islands in the Pacific Ocean. Different species of monkeys eat different food. Scientists have tested different kinds of monkeys to see how they think compared to what kind of food they eat. Monkeys that eat insects or certain types of fruit that grow in trees are a lot smarter than monkeys that eat leaves. The reason for that is simple. Monkeys need food to live. Whichever monkeys are best at finding food are able to survive and reproduce the best, so they make the most children that are like themselves. When you live in trees, if you eat leaves, your food is all around you, so you don't have to think very hard about where to find your food. If some monkeys are born that are smarter than most, it doesn't help them survive and reproduce, because out of all the things the monkeys need to think about to be able to survive and reproduce, the dumb monkeys can figure all those things out too, because all they need to know how to do is to climb in trees, pull leaves off, and stick them in their mouths. If you eat certain types of fruit, you have to think a lot more, because you can only find your food in certain places. Your food only grows in certain trees, and only in certain parts of those trees. So you have to be able to remember where you've found food before. You also have to be able to imagine where you'll be able to find food again if you wander into a part of the forest you've never been in before, by recognizing the kinds of trees that grow your food and recognizing the parts of the new trees where your food grows. If you eat insects, you have to be even smarter. just like the monkeys that ate fruit, you can only find your food in certain places. So you have to be able to remember where those places are and be able to imagine new places to look. You also have to have better hand-eye coordination than a monkey that eats fruit, because if you eat insects, you eat food that can run away from you. So you have to be able to catch a moving target. When you put together all the clues the scientists have found, it shows that monkeys began turning into people at the southern tip of Africa about 7 million years ago. In southern Africa, there are a lot of different environments. Monkeys lived in jungles there. There are also grasslands in Africa, some of which were near the monkeys' forests. A drought could have made the climate change. Some of the forest could have died and turned into grassland, and some of the monkeys wandered out into the grassland to look for food. Or the monkeys could have been so successful at surviving and reproducing that there were too many monkeys in the forest, so there just wasn't enough food to go around. That's another way some monkeys could have wandered off into the grassland to look for some food. They might have spent a little time in the grassland looking for food at first and then went back to their trees at nighttime. But then it turned out that they were able to live in the grassland well, so over time they spent more and more time in the grassland and less time in the forest. Either way, monkeys moving into the grassland explains how they could make all their changes. First of all, monkeys that stood upright more than others would have had an advantage at surviving, because the monkeys who stood upright would be able to see further. If a monkey stood upright, he could see over the tall grass to see if a predator was sneaking up on him. If a monkey walked on all fours, he wouldn't be able to see the predator until the predator was a lot closer. That meant a monkey who stood upright could see a predator further away and run away sooner. That meant that the monkeys that got eaten the most were the ones that walked on all fours. That means that when all the monkeys that walked on all fours all the time got eaten, the next easiest monkeys for the predators to catch would be the ones that walked on all fours most of the time. This went on for about 4 million years. In each generation, the monkeys that walked on all fours were the ones who got eaten the most. The ones who stood upright the most were the ones who could run away the best. So the ones who stood upright the most had the most babies that were like themselves. Once monkeys started living in grasslands and standing upright, they didn't need their hands for climbing in trees or walking anymore. That meant they could use their hands for other things. A lot of monkeys in the world today use tools. They use rocks to break open nuts. They use sticks to help them catch ants in holes in trees. And they even throw rocks and sticks at predators to scare them away. There are other kinds of animals that use things separate from their own bodies to help them survive and reproduce. For instance, birds build nests and spiders build webs. If the monkeys who lived in the grassland and stood upright didn't need their hands for climbing or walking anymore, that would make using tools the most important thing they could use their hands for now. At some point, they learned how to use clubs for hunting, for keeping themselves safe from predators, and for fighting each other over mates. They also learned how to throw rocks to help keep themselves safe. At some point, they learned how to hunt by throwing rocks. If one monkey could throw a rock and hit a bird, he could catch food that another monkey who couldn't throw rocks as well couldn't catch. These monkeys, who could use tools for so many more things than other animals, had a huge advantage at surviving and reproducing. They were already pretty smart to begin with. Now that they could use tools to help them survive and reproduce, the monkeys who used the most tools could survive and reproduce the best. The monkeys who were the smartest could use the most tools, and they made the most children who were like themselves. Over the next 2 million years, people began making their own tools out of stone and also learned how to use fire. There's no way to tell when people started using wooden tools because wood rots, so archaeologists can find stone tools that people made millions of years ago, but the wooden tools are gone. The first stone tools people made were crude tools, only made out of one rock. If you can find a rock with a sharp edge on it, or you can use one rock to break another rock and make your own sharp edge, you can use the sharp rock to do things you can't do with a round rock. Likewise, if you find a rock that's a certain size, you can use it to do things you can't do with a rock of a different size. So people used simple stone tools to help them kill animals and cut up their meat, break open plants and grind them up if they were too hard to break open and chew with their teeth, and things like that. By this time, people were spread all over Africa. They had spread slowly, so there were a lot of different species of people who had each evolved differently in different environments after they all spread out from the same place. About 1 million years ago, people started spreading out of Africa. They spread all the way to Asia and Europe. These ancient people began doing a few other things that people do today. They used the hides of animals for crude clothing. They also began caring for their sick and burying their dead, which were things no other animals on Earth did. So, from clues like this, scientists can see that people were getting more and more intelligent. Then, about 60,000 years ago, the people who lived in a certain part of eastern Africa evolved in a way that made them a lot smarter than everyone else. Nobody can see what part about them changed because their skeletons didn't change, and that's the only part of ancient people scientists can find because everything else rots pretty quickly. So they've had to use other clues to figure out this puzzle. It looks like what happened was that people figured out how to talk in words, or figured out a way to use words that worked a lot better than the way any other group of people were using words. Monkeys and lots of other animals make noises with their mouths to communicate with each other. It looks like what happened here was that people figured out how to attach certain mouth sounds to certain ideas, or they learned a way to connect mouth sounds to each other to talk about bigger and more complicated ideas. That way, if one person had an idea and made a certain noise with his mouth, another person could tell what he was thinking about. That way, people could learn things from each other, instead of having to learn everything in life mostly on their own. Suddenly, people went from building simple stone tools to building specialized tools out of stone. They started making tools out of bone. They made needles, awls, and fishing hooks. They made multi-piece tools like harpoons, spear throwers, and eventually bows and arrows. They also invented rope and cords for nets, lines, snares, and sewn clothing. They began building their homes. They began burying their dead ritualistically. They invented art like jewelry, cave paintings, statues, and musical instruments. From all of these clues and the things people had been doing before, it looks like a lot of people had been thinking about a lot of different things, and now they found a way to share their ideas. Before, they couldn't invent very much because each person could learn a little bit from other people, but they had to figure out most things in life on their own. That way, all they could invent were simple things that had basic uses, because the people all had the same basic needs, and they could see the things other people built to do the same job. Before people could talk, if one person figured out that making an axe by tying a sharp rock to the end of a stick would let him chop things easily, but he couldn't figure out how to tie a rock to a stick, he couldn't build an axe. If another person could figure out how to tie a rock to a stick but hadn't figured out that it would let him chop things easier, he wouldn't see a reason to build an axe. If the two people couldn't talk to each other about their ideas, the axe would never get built. But if they could talk to each other, they could put their ideas together and build axes for both of them. That's just a simple example of how people being able to talk about ideas lets them invent a lot of things they couldn't invent otherwise. Something else that might have happened at this point is that people learning to attach certain ideas to certain mouth sounds helped them remember things better. That might have helped them distinguish in their minds between ideas about actions, objects, people, feelings, and so on. That would help them learn better than other animals can, because that would let them attach ideas to each other and separate ideas from each other to figure out more about how the world worked. For instance, before people learned how to talk, if a person saw a lion, was afraid, and ran away, he might have remembered being afraid more than anything else. But after people had learned to talk, and he had heard words for lion, afraid, and run, he could figure out that the reason he'd been afraid was because he saw the lion, and he reacted to his fear by running away. Now that he understands better what happened, he could think about what else he could do. If seeing lions made him afraid, he could figure out where the lions lived and could stay away from them. If running away from a lion kept him from getting eaten, now he could think about better ways to run away from a lion. He could even think that instead of being afraid of lions and running away from them, he could get some friends together and they could hunt the lion, kill it, and eat it, so they wouldn't have to be afraid anymore. This would help people develop a sense of cause and effect for dealing with the world, and that would make them more intelligent. These people were called the Cro-Magnons. They spread out all over Africa, Asia, and Europe pretty quickly. The other people who already lived there all died out. When the Cro-Magnons came, the Cro-Magnons were better at hunting animals and gathering food. That made the Cro-Magnons the best at surviving and reproducing, so they had more children than the other people, and passed their abilities down to the most people of the next generation. In southwestern France, someone discovered what are known as the Lascaux cave paintings. Lascaux is a French name, like the name of a town. They were created 15,000 years ago. They're good works of art compared to paintings people make today. The Chauvet cave paintings, discovered in southern France more recently, are the same kinds of paintings and are about 30,000 years old. From this, we can see that people of 30,000 years ago saw the world the same way people see it today, because when they painted pictures of things they saw, they painted pictures that looked just like the paintings people make now. From this, we can tell that the people who lived 30,000 years ago noticed the same things people today notice. From that, we can see that they were modern people, just like us. About 40,000 years ago, there was an ice age. The world was a lot colder, which meant a lot more water froze at the north and south poles and in the snow and ice on mountain tops. Since there was a lot more ice in the world, there was a lot less water, which made the oceans lower. People could walk a lot of places that are underwater now. With their boats, they could cross seas by rowing from island to island. People who live on the ocean and travel in boats a lot learn how to recognize where land is by watching how birds fly. The birds know where their nests are, so they fly out over the ocean to look for fish during the day, and then at night they fly straight back to their nests. That means that people who travel by ocean a lot learn how to recognize when there's land nearby, even if they can't see it for themselves, by watching where the birds fly in the evening. During that ice age of 40,000 years ago, people crossed a lot of dry land and seas from Asia to Australia and a lot of islands in the area. Then, about 14,000 years ago, there was another ice age. When the oceans were lower, there was dry land stretching from Asia to Alaska, from the northeasternmost corner of Asia to the northwestern corner of North America. Some people walked across the dry land from Asia to Alaska. The fact that they didn't walk from Asia to North America before is a clue that they didn't live there during the previous ice age. Either that or the previous ice age was a little different. Maybe it was so cold that the people moved south to get away from the ice, and maybe the land between Asia and North America was buried under the ice, so the people didn't see any reason to walk into North America. Then when the ice age was over and the people came back, the land between Asia and North America was underwater again, so they couldn't walk across anymore. Later, after the last ice age was over, some people crossed from Asia to North America in boats. There are a lot of islands between Asia and North America up in that corner of the ocean, so once people moved into the area, they could cross the islands from Asia to North America more easily than they could cross from Asia to Australia. People who lived on the coast and built boats could travel down the west coast all the way to the tip of South America in about 20 years. When the first people crossed from Asia to North America, they found two whole continents that had no people living on them. That meant there was a lot of land to settle, a lot of animals to catch, and nobody to get in the way. This is where your ancestors came from. I know a lot of Indians tell stories about how they were created in the Americas, but that's just another example of people who lived thousands of years ago not having any way to figure out as much about the world as people can figure out now. The people who first told those stories figured out as much about the world as they could, and their stories were so good that a lot of people felt like they must be true. But that doesn't prove they were true. Here in the United States, there are a lot of Indians who don't like archaeologists telling them that their creation myths are wrong because they feel like people proving their creation myths are wrong is going to make them look like a bunch of dumb savages. But that doesn't prove anything. Everyone in the world has creation myths, and nobody's creation myths tell the story the archaeologists have discovered. If you want to talk about whose creation myths are wrong, then everyone's creation myths are wrong. Having a creation myth that doesn't agree with the story the scientists have discovered doesn't prove you're a bunch of dumb savages. It proves you're people, just like everyone else in the world.